Father, again, we want to thank you that you are the almighty, sovereign, creator and sustainer of not only this world, but the universe. There is nothing that has ever happened, that is happening, or ever will happen that will take you by surprise. In a day like this, we need to have great confidence in you because you are a great God. There are so many things that are going on in this world. There are so many things to cause us to be discouraged and distraught. The enemy would like to instill fear, confusion, and anything else that would keep us from being able to rest in you. I would ask that you would help us to become students of your word in this day, that whether we face the challenges that may seem to be far too great, or whether we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. But we will remember and acknowledge and proclaim you can be trusted. You have us in the palm of your hand, and no one can remove us when we know Christ as Lord and Savior. Help us this morning as we are challenged to remember that we are in a race and we desire to win for your glory. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, thank you for honoring and congratulating the graduates. And graduates, we are proud of each of you and the accomplishments that you have accomplished already and where God is going to take you. Now, I would like to share something with you that your commencement speakers probably didn't. I want to remind you that you have challenges ahead. Life is not going to be easy, even though your commencement speakers may have said things like, "You are the most significant generation that has ever lived." Or maybe they said, "You have gifts that can change the world." Or maybe they said, "You have an opportunity to write your story one day at a time." They told your parents that too. But what they didn't tell you is that it's not going to be easy. We live in a world that is broken by sin. We live in a world that is not only broken, but contaminated by sin. And not only is it the sin that's out in this world that we must deal with, but it's also the sin within our own lives. And you know what lies right in the middle of sin? Yeah, it's I. It's me. And if we are going to complete this life in a way that brings God glory, then I must go. I must go. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 just reminds us that whether we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, we are to do it for the honor and the glory of God. Solomon reminded us that there's only one reason that any of us even exist. He says, the conclusion of the whole matter is this: fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So I want to challenge the graduates to remember that this is a race. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It is something that's going to go on and on and on. And there are going to be trials after trials after trials. There will be hardships. There will be discouragements. But you must continue on. The writer of Hebrews tells us to lay our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and to set aside every weight and every sin that's going to trip us up along the way. So yeah, we live in a broken world. Yes, we live in a world that is contaminated with sin. It is a dog-eat-dog world out there. And you have been told that if you don't look out for yourself, nobody else will. And you get out there and you go for it. And I can respect all of that. But your first responsibility is to bring honor and glory to the creator of the universe. He formed you while you were in your mother's womb. And he allowed you to be born for this time. And he would desire that you take the baton. It is your turn to show the world that Christ can make a difference. And when we put him first and foremost in our lives, he uses us in significant ways. Take your Bibles, if you will, and go with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read just the first 9 verses, and then we're going to work our way through it. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I don't know about you, but if I was going to take the shoes of Moses and have to wear them, and I have been with these people these 40 years, and I have seen how they treat their leaders, I probably wouldn't be the first one to say, "I want to take the lead here." But Joshua really doesn't have much choice. He is the one that God has chosen. What do we know about Joshua? Well, one of the first times we really come across him is when the Amalekites have come to fight. These are cousins. This is the grandson of Esau and his descendants. And they have come to war with Israelites. And Joshua is told by Moses, "You go down there and you whip their tail." And Joshua goes to war, and Moses goes off, and as long as he's holding his hands up, Joshua and his armies are winning. But when he gets tired and begins to lower his arms, then the Amalekites seem to take control. And so they found a rock, sat Moses down, and Aaron and Hur held his hands up, and they won the victory. But that's about the first time we run across this young man, Joshua. The second time that's significant anyway is when the 12 tribes go into the promised land. It is time to go check out the land and to see what God has given to them. They send the 12 spies in. 10 come back with a bad testimony. And Joshua and Caleb said, "Now listen, those giants are nothing but grasshoppers. Let's go get them." But the people wouldn't. So they weren't able to go at that particular time. Another time we come across Joshua is when Moses is laying his hands on him, in a sense identifying him as he is God's pick for his successor. Joshua knows that he's going to be taking the place of Moses when that time comes. But even though Joshua had a great start, one thing that we all need to remember is that the best of men are men at best. What do I mean by that? I'm just saying that even though Joshua at this particular point is a knight in shining armor, At this particular junction, Joshua has everything going for him. Every piece of evidence that we can find, he is a man of faith. He is a man of courage. He is a man that's out to please and honor the God that created him. But he's still just a man. Even the best of men can fall. In the very moment that the best of men begin to put confidence in themselves and begin to think that what they have achieved in life is because of them, and begin to think that it was their strength, it was their might, it was their intelligence, it was their whatever that brought them to the place that they thought they are now, is a dangerous place. And so even though at this particular point, Joshua is a great military leader, he is a great man of faith, and he is going to take these people into the promised land, but he better remember that he is still just a man. And sin knocks at the door. The New Testament just reminds us that he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. So graduates, you might feel at this particular time, you've got everything it takes to succeed in life. All the accolades and all the honors and all these things are wonderful. And by having all of these poured upon you, you may begin to think that, you know, I really got something going for me. But don't you forget that the only reason you have achieved what you have achieved is because God has been good to you and he has been gracious to you. And so we all must be careful lest we fall. So be strong and courageous. Many will start fast. Few will finish strong. I know an individual that in the 80s, he was a multimillionaire. And being a multimillionaire and having everything too at his fingertips, he thought he had life made. This individual got sidetracked, even though he and his wife sang in the worship team of their church, were very much a part of that ministry and doing very well. And everybody there would have said, beautiful family, young boy, young girl. He lost his family, not in some tragic accident, but over decision after decision after decision, poor decision after poor decision, that when he died, he had nothing. Literally, nothing. And so there are many who are going to start this race with great confidence, and they're going to look at the world and the challenges and believe within their heart they have what it takes. But the question is, will you finish well? Because the way you finish is how you will be remembered. The way we finish is how we will be remembered. So that's a challenge that I have for you. And the odds are against you, in case you didn't know, especially for young Christian individuals. Did you know that Barna Research has shown that over the years, more and more young adults just leave the faith. They leave the church. In 2011, these are ages 18 to 29. In 2011, 59% of them just walked away from the church. In 2019, it was 64% that walked away from the church. That was 4 years ago. It hasn't gotten any better. But you know what's really sad? Is this. More startling, the data shows that less than 0.5% of Christians. Did you catch that? Less than 0.5% of Christians between the ages of 23 have a biblical worldview. Now you say, well, that sounds pretty impressive. What's a biblical worldview? It's really pretty simple what this statistic is based on. What's the worldview look like in their eyes? Number one, you believe absolute moral truth exists. You believe that God made boys and girls, that there are absolute truths. You believe that the Bible is without error. It's not easy. It's not complicated text, but it is without error. That Satan is a real being. He is a roaring lion. He is seeking to devour whoever he can. A person cannot earn their way into heaven. You cannot work your way into the kingdom of God. It is by faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life while on this earth. And God is supreme over everything. Less than 0.5% of Christians believe this. Parents, that's a reflection on us. We work hard at making sure they get a good education. We want to see them succeed in their sports and their hobbies. We want to see them move ahead, that they might get a great job, be able to make a good living, that they might be able to become a success. And we seem to be very unconcerned about their spiritual state. Every one of us is mortal. We are temporary. We are here for a short period of time. The Bible says life is like a vapor. You're here and you're gone. And we want our kids to succeed in everything, but we don't seem to be overly concerned about their spiritual state. That's just a reflection on what's been going on in the church over the last few decades. So the odds are against you, but that doesn't mean you have to lose. What we find in Joshua, remember the 10 spies said, the odds are against us, we can't overtake them. But with God, all things are possible. So let's look at the provisions that God has given to these individuals that are going into the promised land. Verse 1, he says, the land that I am going to give them. Verse 2, I have given you. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. 5b, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I swore to your fathers to give them. God has made it very clear. This is what he is going to do for them if. It doesn't say if. Well, yes and no. You see, what this passage also tells us is that they have a responsibility. They have a responsibility. I like what A.W. Pink said many years ago. He said, those professing Christians who reason God has promised never to leave you nor forsake you, and therefore it is quite safe for us to flirt with the world and to trifle with sin, but do make manifest the unregenerate condition of their own hearts. That's not the mentality that Christians should have. He goes on to say this. They who take to themselves the divine declaration that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and then conclude there is no need for them to make sure of their calling and election, or desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby, then they just render it very doubtful that the good work has ever really begun. So there is a responsibility. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Another way of putting that would be strong in the Lord. Understand who you are and who he is. And put your confidence in him. And don't forget it. Verse 7, he goes on. Only be strong and courageous, and that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. There's responsibility. It goes on in verse 7 there, before we get to verse 8, it says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. In other words, this book is like a lamp. The world is dark. And without it, you cannot see clearly. But with it, it is a lamp. It is a light. It will guide your path. It will lead you along the way. It will keep you from stumbling. Verse 8a, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And verse b, you shall meditate on it day and night. In other words, you become so familiar with God's word that as you go through life and you're faced with situations, his word is continually coming up into your mind to guide you, to direct you, to help you in the decisions that you have to make. And so they had a responsibility to make sure that they meditated on it. They didn't have a Bible to carry with them. They had to remember what they were told. And they were to cherish the word. But you, I, each of us, we have a Bible. We can take it with us. We carry it on our phone. I was in the hospital just this past week, and the question was brought up, and I was just pulled out my phone and went to the scriptures and be able to share. Meditate on it day and night. And then C goes on to say, or 8C goes on to say, according to all that was written in it, we are to observe and do. 9, only be strong and of good courage. And verse 9, don't be afraid or dismayed, discouraged, distraught, downhearted, beat down, without hope. And no, don't let that happen. So God does have provisions. We do have a responsibility. Look at verse 8 again, where he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Are you with me now? For them. See that? For them. And can I say, not until then. Not until then. Life will be a struggle. Hardships will come and beat you down. And sometimes it will even be God that will bring you to a point to where he's hoping that you will look up. But we have a responsibility. And so he says, listen, listen, I am with you. I'm going to give you this land. You go in and you take it, but don't forget me. Because when you do that, then you'll have good success. And then we got his promises. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. He reminds us in verse 5 again, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You draw near to me, as James said. You draw near to me, I will draw near to you. You turn from me, and I will step away from you. What's happening in America today? I think God is stepping away. Why is God stepping away? Because we have turned our own way. But that's another sermon. I don't have time for that one. But going back to where we started, 1 Corinthians 10:31, this needs to be in our mind every morning that we wake up. All right, self, another new day. God has seen fit to bring me through the night. And my eyes have opened up. My heart is still beating. My lungs are still sucking air. What's my objective today? Bring him glory. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all for his glory. So Joshua was a good example. He didn't let us down. He stayed true throughout. And there are several other examples of individuals who started serving God when they were young. And even though they may have made mistakes here and there, that you look at their track record and at the end, they're still shining strong. But one thing that the Bible does, it doesn't paint a rosy picture in saying everybody that trusts Christ does well. No, it also shares with us bad examples. And there are several in the Old Testament. There are several in the New Testament. But let me just bring one up. A very close associate of the Apostle Paul. A man that you would have expected to be strong and courageous through his whole life. But because life was difficult and the challenges were strong and there was so much out in the world to enjoy. There were opportunities. There were places to go, people to meet, money to be made. But Demas forsook the Lord because he fell in love with the things of this world. There are challenges out there, graduates. There's an enemy out there that wants to distract you and to keep you from finishing the race. So the odds are against you, but don't let the circumstances cause you to lose hope. And I close with this. Many will start fast and start well, but few will finish well. I think a couple of weeks ago I shared with you what percentage of those who go into ministry actually make it past 10 years. Very small. That's not just ministry, but that's just true in all areas of life. But the question is, where will you place? Because in the end, what people are going to remember is how you finished. You know, it's a very discouraging time to be with loved ones who have lost someone dear to them But that one so dear to them didn't run well, didn't finish well. That's sad. So I want you to remember, it's not the starting point today that's a big deal. Yes, it is. It is a big deal. But how you finish is far more important. Run the race. And 1 Corinthians 9 says, do it in such a way that you intend to win. What does that mean? It means live your life in such a way that when you are leaving this life and you stand before your Creator, He looks at you and He says, you kept your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. You set aside every weight that so easily would have tripped you up. Oh, you made mistakes here and there, but you got up and kept going. Finish well. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be reminded that you have great provisions out there for us. Not only do you have great provisions, but you have great promises for us as well. But you also expect some responsibility on our part. You tell us that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, we ask you to fill us, but you tell us to be filled. But that takes surrender. That's dying to self. That's giving up and allowing you to take over. You tell us to draw near to you, then you will draw near to us. We have a responsibility to maintain that relationship. And may we realize that in this life, it's not going to be easy. But when we put you first, when we lay aside the weights that so easily trip us up, we know that even in the hardships and the difficulties and the pain and the loss and the heartache, that you are able to work all things together for good and for your glory. Be with our graduates. Help them not forget. Be with us, the rest of us, and help us to be reminded as well. We're still here. The race is not over. We can't change yesterday, but we can change what today looks like. And every tomorrow that you give us, go before us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.